Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings to the automatically deleted husband, and I have an apology to make first. Yesterday, you know, if you go back to some of the old voicemails, see, there was the long intro that my wife's voicemail, and you'll notice now it's basically abbreviated. But one of the other things I do is the end of her message to the beep and whatnot, I drop it out, you know, because why bother? You know, it's, and yesterday I didn't. Oh, gee. What a horrible thing to do. I'm just an evil person, what can I say? But anyway, I have some news. It actually happened. For the first time in history, Shofar Nexus sent an email from Alice at shofarnexus.com to John at Kozlowski.org. And it worked. So I'm pleased. The fundamental thing here is, oh, email's email. The part you don't see, it's like underneath a rusty old car and, you know, a brand new solid truck and whatnot kind of thing. You know, there's a little bit of difference in what makes it. And the framework that's in place, I suggest, opens the doors to lots of possibilities. And of course, the thing that I spent such a ridiculous amount of time in is in order to make the logging so you can see what happened. And I'm trying to do it in a way so it's not that you have to be an in-depth study of but do it in such a way that somebody knows, just, you know, maybe a little fluff about computers can see, oh, all right, I see what's kind of going on. I want to make it sure, because if I can't deal with that, then, you know, because the thing I find is that stuff that I've done years ago is kind of like, how does that work? You know, because you need to keep it simple. Complicated things, especially when it's a whole bunch, it's a racket. It's a racket. But anyway, so in the Lord's grace, Shofar Nexus, you know, has been receiving emails, for a long time, but now it's sending emails, and there are some tweaks that I need to do. I'm going to do some cleanup. A whole bunch of stuff has been added to emails in order to filter for spam and whatnot, and I have the framework for that, but it wasn't implemented, so I got to do that. But you know, that should go fairly quickly. But I got a postcard, yeah, from my wife, and it's interesting the labels on the other side. Proverbs 18:22. I have been blessed by the Lord in finding you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I don't know what's... Oh, it's the happy birthday at the top that's been covered over. Happy birthday. You know, that's hate speech, isn't it? It's hate to return it, but that's another issue. Because I was busy today. And, you know, I started early, which I'm grateful for. During my eating time, I watched a gentleman speak out of the UK in reference to, there was a report that came out from Canada. I think at a university or whatnot, says, look, we have this report that shows that people who are unvaccinated have a higher incidence of traffic accidents. And, you know, I heard that initially, I don't know, a week ago or so, and it's kind of like, that's stupid. And this gentleman went through the report, and it's stupid. because he demonstrated how they did a lot of variety of things. You know, they say, okay, this data doesn't work, so we're going to simply ignore looking at this data. We're only going to look at the data that will, when we put it together, fits our narrative. I mean, it's right there. And then you frame questions in order to generate answers, as opposed to let look at the data and see what are the possibilities. It was not science, it was politics. And he demonstrated very well how that was done. But so, you know, clearly the whole point is it's blatant bad science that was used to generate a headline. The problem is 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, what will people remember? The headline. People who don't have the vaccine have higher rate of traffic accidents. They'll remember that. They won't remember how it was shown to be a fallacy. And I really think this is the problem with so much. You know, it's you know, the objective here is not to look at the vaccine issue and whatnot, but the propaganda issue. Because there's so much of that. And I watched it recently, and I already have the link here. A gentleman, Rupert Sheldrake. That sounds. He did a talk, Science Set Free, and this was from 2013. This is at one of these Electric Universe conferences, and he did one. And there's another gentleman also who did one. I'll put that link in too. What's the deal with matter? They have a whole lot of very, very, very good talks and so forth at this Thunderbolts project. But what you see in actually both of those is the idea how scientists are using credentials and so forth. And because our organization says such and such, therefore it's true. You know, and of course, it goes to that dreaded term, scientific consensus. I mean, that's an oxymoron. I'm sorry. Truth is not decided by consensus. It's what's true. And I remember a gentleman saying, I am the truth. Oh, where did I read that? And what really, again, it's my same issue. I want my kids to be able to think. In this case, in both these videos, they're talking about how a particular dogma is set up, and you have to follow that because then you build on top of that. Irrational things, you know. I think it was mentioned in one or both of these videos, because you know the so-called scientific community will look at the Christian community or even the Muslim and the Buddhist and whatnot and say, well, let's see, they believe in a myth. However, the issue is the scientific community. They say, okay, we've determined some equations, you know, the obvious thing. We determined some equations. We've decided that the Big Bang happened, and therefore, this is why things happened this way. But the problem is our equations don't work. So what we're going to do is we're going to conjure up out of nowhere the idea of dark matter and then later dark energy, which they're saying the majority of the universe is made up of. What happened was, they say, we can't make the equations that we've developed work, so we're going to invent something that we have no evidence for, but it makes our equations work. It's about as rational as believing in the Cookie Monster is real. And these are the people who look at a follower of Christ and say, well, you're believing in a myth. The point about the Bible, the Quran, the Vedas, and so forth, can they stand examination? I will contend the Bible can, and that's why I constantly do it. And, you know, the issue is when you find things that it's kind of like, I don't understand. It's not, well, it's wrong, or I have to impose my... I will contend, especially I want my kids to experience this, because if you experience it, I think it draws you closer to, yes, I can trust my Creator. You can test something and test it, and you say, something isn't work, doesn't work up here. I don't see how this connects. And it may take weeks, months, years. And the Lord will, every once in a while, open up your eyes, say, see how this connects to this, connects to this, connects to this. And over time, mature you to build more in you a confidence that the Bible is indeed God-breathed. And I really want that for my kids. And so when I listen to this, these two things from the Thunderbolts Project, people who are cross-examining the current scientific consensus, and that's wonderful. My suggest, and of course, you know what they do is they're going against what's popular and against what's well-funded, which, you know, an area anyway. But I want my kids to be able to do that. Go to the scripture and say, there's a problem here. This doesn't make sense to me. Wrestle with God. He can take it. He's not a weak, he's not a snowflake. He's not a 21st century American who, I need my protection. My government needs to protect me. I need to have my safe spaces. Put me in a university in a safe space, and I have what do they call relaxation rooms or things of that nature. No. Well, okay. So, and I will make sure I quote it correctly. Let's end with this, especially to my guys, because this is specifically to men. And you know, it's the verse I use. I'll read it in the LSV, since it's 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch. Stand in the faith. Be men. Be strong. Let all your things be done in love. Don't be a wimp. Don't be a coward. Don't be faithless. Watch. Stand in the faith. Be men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Or ESV. Let all be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Basically the same. I want my kids, my sons, to be able to say, I see that as a command of God, and I'm going to strive to obey that, please. And celebrate with me. Mourn with me. I continue to get these cards. Celebrate with me. An email was sent from Alice at shofarnexus.com to John at kozlowski.org, and the message said, message body. I was very inventive. The subject was message subject, plain text girl. You know, a friend of mine, Mike Day, he's the one that called me Garlic John. So I sent this from Garlic John. Anyway, I sent email. Oh, okay, one last thing. I'll leave you the picture. I'll leave you a link to the picture, because I was reminded about it today, thought about it. I'll leave you the picture of the Heritage Systems Corporation, the HSC 5100. Because I want to remind my kids, especially my sons, you know, Walter and Zadok, who never saw any of this. And George was too young, so he really didn't see either. But I'll show you the picture of this printed circuit board. Remember, this is 1990 vintage. So this is 32 years old. And what you'll see in it, I mean, this is a computer with 1 megabyte of memory. Back then, that was massive. It is a 32-bit computer. I could relay all the technology. It was some really neat stuff because this card drove a touch panel. You know, back in 1990, that was a big deal. A flat panel monochrome display, you know, simply because, again, that display cost is like $300-$400. It was the display cost is about as much as the board did, I think, or even more. I don't know. We sold the package. Richard, my partner, he got a sheet of metal cut and some holes drilled into it. And we bought a package power supply in a plastic box that was attached to the one side. And then the board had and then the display was also attached. So you had a single package that had everything in place. And this was sold, we sold it for, I don't remember, $1,500, $1,200, whatever it was, for the whole package. And it ran a knitting machine. And it knitted socks. I mean, this cards had literally knitted millions of socks because they went on a whole lot of machines because we made a bunch of them. And of course, obviously, this was very, very dated stuff. It was reliable. This is demonstrated this at the ITMA convention in Hanover, Germany, and, you know, did wonderfully. But the thing I want my sons to understand, you know, I pointed out that there was the comment in that video, the hidden history, the untold history of the video game industry, whatever it is. I'll try to remember, give you a link to that too. But anyway, because, you know, I expressed where I was in that industry. And, you know, you see the image of Ray Kassar again. He and I had a relationship. He got us a very large advance. You know, again, when I say today's, you know, it was $25,000 then. Today would have been $100,000 advance. You know, that was good money back in 1981 or whatever. But the comment was made that a lot of the early video games, everything was done by one person. Well, you know, the game Crude was that way. But this, the HSC 5100 card, the board, the layout of the board, the design of the electronics, the layout of the board, you'll see these two devices marked as Xilinx. They're called logic cell arrays. They actually are, it's programmable hardware. And so that design and all of the software, not most, not some, all of the software, the whole thing was engineered by one man. Zadok's dad. Walter's dad. George's dad. Jack's dad. You know, so you're going to get a lot of, I'm sure you get a lot of criticism about your dad. And I'm sure a lot of people will look down on me as an incompetent fool. How many people can do that? Even more, how many people have done that? And, you know, I did several of these things. The 5100 is probably the most complex. You know, but again, it's not a team of people that designed this. One man, me. Walter, Zadok, George, that was your dad who did that. In whatever way is appropriate, I hope you would follow in a similar path. Not necessarily that you do this kind of stuff. This is not playtime. We made millions of dollars off of this. But it's not the money. You know, I think of, because I remember, let's take an example. I remember watching a gentleman, when we were in Enterprise, Alabama, one evening, we did it several times. We went to a place to have sushi as a family. And I remember the guy, the care he took, because you could see it in the way he did his work, the way he was simply making sushi. You can see that it wasn't simply a job to him. He was an artist. He was compelled. So whether you do that with sushi, with wood, with something mechanical, with something artistic, whatever it is, that or electronics or software, that passion is both a blessing and a curse. Again, you know, I got email working today. I could have done it quick and dirty months ago, but I needed to make it right. And I'm paying a price for it in a number of ways. But anyway, I want my kids, my sons especially, because I would suggest it is consistent with act like men. The Greek is andrizomai. Because I've done this, you know, the strong and courageous that we see in the Old Testament. It's andrizomai. And most men, or men in general, have become more and more impotent. I saw another one, because I saw somebody did it with a drawing today, you know, because over the past, what is it, 30, 40 years, whatever, the sperm count in males has just plummeted. I mean, less, well under half of what it used to be. And it has an impact on you. You know, and it you know, things like, the desire to reproduce, for example. And I remind you, I have 9 kids. And I designed the HSC 5100, the 9160, the 9100, the 9260, the 9360, the 9460, the 9560, okay, one last thing. We sold one of our customers was Crawford Technologies. They got bought out, became Paramount Crawford Technologies, and they went bankrupt, unfortunately, because all the knitting machine manufacturers now are foreign. But there was one gentleman, and I heard this told to me. He was working with our computer on a knitting machine, and he got frustrated, and he banged the keyboard. Yeah, because especially for some work, just used a regular PC keyboard. And just because it was like you did Control Alt and Shift, I think, and T, I think what it was. And when you did that, it brought up a verse. I forget what verse it was, but anyway. So this guy was frustrated, he banged the keyboard and then popped up on the screen a verse in the Bible. It's kind of like, whoa! And it would have been so great to see the expression on his face. Anyway. So, my sons, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Celebrate with your dad. 30-some years ago, he would build things like the HSC 5100. And today, he sent his first email. And Lord willing, it'll become an email list. And I have plans. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I still love you, and I still want you back.